BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined as always by Justin Southwell and Eve Batoba. Once again, guys, we think it's going to be kind of a slow news week. And then OSU Athletics drops this bombshell of this new vision plan for the athletic facilities, a proposed $325 million, or estimated, I should say, $325 million plan to update almost every facility here in Stillwater. It's still in the conceptual stage, but there is a lot going on in this plan.
Well, you know what? For all of our listeners, if you're watching the YouTube channel, there's a reason why we're so dressed up tonight, okay? I got my collared shirt on. Megan has on a dress. Justin's coming out here with the button down. Look, we're looking like we're ready to fund a $325 million project. No, I'm joking. But in all seriousness, this is so exciting for the entire town, for Oklahoma State University at large, and definitely for the athletic department. When you take a look at our facilities, you know, whenever I first got to Oklahoma State in 2009, that was actually the first year that we were in our newly renovated football building. And much, much thanks to T. Boone Pickens' generous donations to OSU's football program, we were the standard across the country at that time. And, you know, whenever that happens, it's a copycat nation. Everybody else wants to follow along. So we've been passed up. To be honest, a lot of our other programs had been passed up long before the football program, and it was long overdue. I'm excited that the softball program is getting a facility. I'm really excited that there's going to be an indoor track and field facility. There's nothing like being at a track and field event, and it's even better whenever you don't have to be outside in the cold. So I'm excited for that. And if you can recruit better talent to run track and field at Oklahoma State, and we're able to compete for those championships in the sprint events, in those field events, the better it is for everybody. So super, super excited for what the athletic department is doing with these facilities.
Yep, it's no surprise that whenever you have facilities like this, the talent will come. We've seen it with football. We've seen it with basketball. We're seeing it with baseball right now. And kind of in spite of that, we've been able to do it with these other teams. And now it's time for them to get some love too. So I'm excited for that. Actually really excited for wrestling. So it's been about, I think the last national championship for them was in 2005. And I know a lot of, especially Big Ten teams, have phenomenal facilities for wrestling. And yeah, it's time for us to step up in that aspect. So this is where I wish that I, you know, had multi-millions of dollars so that we could like slap the Southwell name on the wrestling facility.
Right.
I wish I could, you know, donate that money. Unfortunately, I can't right now, but I am excited to see
in due time, man,
where it comes, you know. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've got the shirt. I'm looking the part. So it's just a matter of time. You're right.
Your son is going to be studying in Southwell Hall by the time he gets to Oklahoma State.
Maybe you can donate like a couple $1,000 and just have like a single locker, you know, like
just one locker.
Southwell locker in the locker.
That might get you a shower head. Just like the Southwell shower head. That's it.
Those are like $500 a piece, man. Inflation, you never know. They're probably more expensive now. That was back in our day.
Yeah, so that's crazy. But I tell you what, this Human Performance Innovation Complex that they're talking about, that's going to be funded by the university, and it's going to be shared with the football program, the football training center. And then you have kind of an area where they're able to do research on human performance in general, and they're going to be doing a lot of studies on the athletes. That is exciting to me. You know, I think that whenever your Institute of Higher Learning can actually be an innovation hub and can be something that actually puts out a bunch of, you know, just a ton of great research out into the field, It just makes it that much more exciting, right? You've seen what OSU has been able to do with just advanced grass technology. You know, we're not going to talk about what happened at the Super Bowl. All right, we ain't going to talk about that. But, you know, just but it's cool. It's very cool to witness that we're once again looking to be at the forefront of kind of leading the charge when it comes to not just facilities, but performance research.
That's what I'm most excited about, Eve. I mean, you know this, we were in sports media classes whenever we first started off in 2009. And for whatever reason, neither one of us decided to finish our degree with that. For me,
switch the quickness. Too much writing.
It is. for me, I just decided, you know, after being a part of the football program, I was very interested in the human body's full potential and what that could look like, being able to reach maximum performance, and kind of became obsessed with it to the point where I was like, I want to learn all I can about it, and I might as well do it as part of my degree. And I switched to health education and promotion and kind of, you know, got a passion for everything surrounding that, where it started off with, you know, biomechanics and things like that. But as far as this research facility, it's going to be led by Lance Walker, who has, if you have any chance to look up his background, you know, he's been a part of some very innovative performance. He was with the Dallas Cowboys for a while. And so I'm really excited to see what he brings to the table for Oklahoma as a whole. But, you know, the benefits, just off the top of my head, you can just talk about how much money you can save just by living a healthier lifestyle. And being able to reduce healthcare costs and your health in general, just how much better you feel from day to day from a physical standpoint. And that leads into mental health and spiritual health. There's so much of that goes into it. So I am I'm very excited to see how Oklahoma State can put resources into that for the betterment of our community.
Yeah, I mean, just the science that goes behind the kinesiology and the human body, honestly, is something that's so intriguing. I think especially whenever you're an athlete, getting to know the inner workings of your own body, whenever you're rehabbing, whenever you're recovering, you know, what does that actually look like? And getting to know your body really at an intimate level. I even think about the University of Alabama, whenever Scott Cochran, their legendary strength and conditioning coach, left and he went to the University of Georgia, and everybody was like, oh my God, what is Alabama going to do? Everybody knows that Scott Cochran. And then they went and they hired the basically the human performance coaches from IMG Academy. And then what was happening with their sports tech lab was just so innovative. And it's cool to see that we get to, I wouldn't even say mimic, but we get to create our own version of that, right, in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Just to see what the actual potential of our golfers, our tennis players, our runners, and of course our football players, you know, what that potential can actually lead to. That's so cool to me. And one of the coolest parts for me is this new student success center that is being built. You remember, Justin, we used to go to the AC. You know, you get done with practice, you go to AC, you get tutoring, or you finish your homework, whatever it is that you had to do. But that was outdated back in 2010. Okay. So the fact that they're having that, and it's not just a place where you can go and study, but it's honestly a central area where student athletes across all the different sports can come together and they get to intermingle. You get to plan events. The student athlete advisory committee can come in there and have their meetings. Like, that stuff is really cool. A lot of folks don't realize that whenever you're a student athlete, you're basically seeing other student athletes more than anybody else. So it's cool that you're actually cultivating that type of community in a facility that's going to be brand new.
I think too, with like all the facilities, you have to do it to keep up with recruiting. Cause you see that's such a big part of it too. And I think it's great that some of these other championship sports are getting updates. I know football is a big moneymaker. I love football. It's my favorite too. But you look at what softball's accomplished in the last 5 years. You look at wrestling. You know, wrestling hasn't had a win in a while, but they are the winningest program in the history of NCAA. Not wrestling, any sport ever in the history of the NCAA. And they're finally getting a locker room or a space, a workout space, a practice facility that matches their championship caliber team. Yeah. So I love that this is not just for football. It's for all of athletics. And we can get into sort of a quick rundown of what is in this plan. But Justin, it seemed like you had something to say.
Well, before I do, like wrestlers are kind of a different breed anyway. So I feel like they were already able to, you know, push that kind of stuff aside. It's like, I don't care where we're going to wrestle. It can be in a dungeon and we're going to be able to do whatever we do. But, you know, it's time, you know, let's get it on par with some of the other things that we've got going here. But Eve, what you were saying about the academic center, just how, you know, whenever you're a college kid, it's very easy to be distracted. And after practice, all you want to do is just, you know, go home, and you're not necessarily concerned with, you know, doing your homework or whatever. So being able to have a nice academic center where it's like, all right, let's just go knock this out real quick. This is, you know, this is where I want to be. So where it's not so much of a,
what I have to
like,
do.
I have to do this. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right, let's go ahead and knock it out. I'm enjoying being here with my friends, whatever the case is. And there's a very rewarding aspect to that. And Meg, like you were talking about, as far as the recruiting aspect of it, absolutely. We heard with Trace Ford leaving to Oklahoma, he said that OU has things that OSU doesn't that can help me get to the NFL or where I want to be, whatever the case is. And, you know, I don't want to hear that excuse anymore. So we need to get to that level and continue to develop. And that can't be an excuse moving forward for anybody who might want to transfer out. It needs to be the top athletes transferring into Oklahoma State because we're on the cutting edge of things like this.
Did they announce how long this project is supposed to take, by the way, or is it just?
So it's still in the conceptual stage. They have no estimate on when it will be done, obviously. So if you go to okstate.com, I'm sure it'll be the top story for a while. You can go in and read the full rundown of what everything will be. But also within that, there is a photo gallery at the very top. It says OSU unveils athletics vision plan. There's a website for it. There's a photo gallery news conference with AD Chad Weiberg. But I do yourselves a favor, go and look at these renderings, because this is so beautiful. And if this, you know, if it looks anything like the pictures, it's going to be absolutely incredible. And I think it's also just going to like give Stillwater a facelift, because you're going to have this beautiful complex in the middle of Stillwater. And it just, sometimes, you know, you drive through and you see all these beautiful buildings on campus, the beautiful brick buildings, but you see also some of the older sad buildings, and you drive by Allie P. Reynolds and you're like, wow, that stadium is like 50 years old. Get rid of that. And they are getting rid of that to make room for a softball facility. But you know what I'm saying? I just think that overall, but they're still looking for donors. So if you have a cool mill or a couple mill, get rid of. I'm sure OSU would gladly take it. And
nice little tax write-off.
Very jealous that your name is on a building. But no, this is just kind of in very early, I don't want to say very early, but it's still in conceptual stages. There's not a due date. I think the football stadium has been under construction. They're working on the seats, I think, on the north side right now. And then after next season, they'll start with the seat rearranging and expanding and whatnot on the south side. So that is currently in the works. That's one project that I know is happening.
That's okstate.com/all-in for all the different plans that are happening there. So yeah, I mean, that's very exciting. And you know what piece I think almost gets forgotten about is the equestrian team and what we do from an equestrian standpoint, right? So when you talk about the Pedigo Hole Equestrian Center and they're adding an additional covered arena over there, our equestrian team is so cool. I mean, I went to 5, 6, 7 different equestrian meets during my span over at Oklahoma State, and I would honestly encourage anybody to actually go and check that out, because these girls are so talented, you know, with what they can do on a horse. And as beautiful as Carson Creek already is, they're enhancing that thing even more. So, you know, it's going to be really cool to just see more of the beauty of what's in there. I mean, what an exciting time, just an exciting time to be an Oklahoma State Cowboy Cowgirl.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so we have the Human Performance Innovation Complex, which will, you know, kind of be under the same umbrella as the Football Training Center, or same roof as the Football Training Center. So that'll be over by the Sherman E. Smith area. Student Athlete Success Center, EPS stadium updates, the new softball facility, indoor track and field facility, so the athletes can train year-round. It'll include a 200-meter banked track, indoor field event space, spectator seating, athletic training rooms, team meeting theater spaces, locker rooms, players' lounges, coaching offices, the wrestling facility we talked about, basketball. Also, the plan proposes an addition to the south side of Gallagher Iba and will feature two practice courts, adding the additional covered Karsten Creek. There's going to be a practice facility also renovated. So literally everyone is getting something. And I want to go back to the track and field really quickly. The Cowgirl team, indoor track and field team, won their first Big 12 title this weekend in program history. And the men, I believe, came in second. Yes, the Cowboys finished second place in team scoring. So, I mean, to your point from earlier, Eve, about the track and field having that place to practice, like, we have really good programs that I think sometimes, and that's, it's not just an Oklahoma State problem. It's everywhere. Football is king. If you have a prominent, if you're a D1 football school, that is top tier. And then everything else kind of falls underneath. But I just think it's awesome that this plan includes, I didn't see anything about soccer, but it includes a majority of the teams. And I think it's awesome that it's benefiting a lot of student athletes and not just the football team.
I think, honestly, with this news, that puts us at the top of the Big 12 conference in terms of facilities. Like, who else has better facilities in the Big 12, especially now that UT is leaving, right? Like, their locker room was really nice. But
these are pretty nice.
Who's that?
Are you?
Look, we ain't talking about that.
I don't even
know who you're talking about.
I mean, but I'm just going to be honest here and say, you know, but I think that this gives us the edge and it gives us something, you know. And, you know, Eve, you said that something was relatively new when you got here in 2009. And 2009, depending on how you look at things, wasn't that long ago, but it was also forever ago, depending on your perspective.
Yeah.
And it also just shows how quickly things are become outdated, and you
14 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, and 14 isn't that long in the grand scheme of things, but it all, like, you need to stay on top of things. You need to.
Yeah, I mean, to compare, for example, the Dallas Cowboys' new facility, or like that whole massive screen from the 20-yard line to the 20-yard line was like the craziest thing in sports at the time, and since then we've got, like, the Atlanta Falcons,
Minnesota Vegas Vikings,
SoFi Stadium in LA.
Yeah.
I mean, those things are, like, kind of making the Dallas Stadium look outdated, and it's only been, you know, 14, 15 years.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's like technology, you know, you get the new iPhone and then the next year the newer version comes out. So how do you stay on top of it? But I think that this is going to position Oklahoma State to be a really incredible facility for in its entirety for a very long time. You know, you might see little things, oh, the football locker room needs an update or this locker room. But when you look at the entire complex, I think it's going to give other schools a run for their money because it's not
just for the student athlete experience that they're getting the cool, but it's also for the fan experience.
Exactly. Like
the fans are getting that too. But I mean, it's cool when it comes to training facilities in general. I think so, you know, my former employer, right, the Miami Dolphins, they went and they renovated their training facilities completely. And you know which university they were looking at whenever it came to making this model was Clemson. Like, Clemson's facilities are so nice, right? That was, like, for a long time was like the gold standard in all of college football. And honestly, a lot of people still regard that as, you know, maybe the best facilities across college football. And then you got Texas A&M, you got Florida State are probably the nicest ones that I've ever seen personally. Like, Florida State to me has one of the best facilities in the country. But the fact that whenever people are now going to talk about their top 10, you know, 3-4 years from now, I think they're going to have to include Oklahoma State in that conversation.
I'm just really excited for softball because if you go to a softball game, A, it's super fun. The softball games are super fun. The energy is great. But a majority of the fans are literally in the outfield on these man-made decks. It's like a patio you see in your backyard. And they're awesome and they're so fun. But this team is winning. They're the reigning Big 12 champions. They've been to the past two, three Women's College World Series. Like, they are a premier softball team. They're currently, I don't know their current ranking, but they're top 10 team in the country. And you can only get a couple hundred fans to watch. And then nothing against baseball. Obrate's a beautiful stadium, but it's not full all the time. So let's start, you know, if you build it, they will come. And they built these decks out at softball, and those are packed. If you go for playoff softball or Bedlam softball, you're going to be packed in like a sardine, and it is so much fun out there. But give them real stands to get even more people out there to support those women.
Yeah, that's very cool. Doesn't it just seem like there's a ton of unity within the athletic department? I think that's one of the, that's another factor that's just really cool about it. Like, between, you know, Dr. Casey Shrum and athletic director Chad Weiberg and all the head coaches that were all a part of that promo video that came out, that announcement video. Like, there's a ton of unity just within all of OSU athletics right now. And it seems like everybody's heading in the right direction, and they're heading in that direction together.
Big things happening for OSU athletics. But switching gears a little bit, the other big things happening this week is the NFL Combine. Who doesn't love Combine week? You know,
time to make some money.
Woo! Oklahoma State is only sending two guys this year to the Combine. Only two got the invite, Jason Taylor and Tyler Lacey. Lacey sat out the last four games of this season after suffering a lower leg injury versus Kansas. Lacey will go through workouts on Thursday, Taylor Friday. Guys, we've kind of declined in players getting the invite for the last 2 years. We had 5-21, 3-22. Like, what do you make of the lack of players from OSU being invited? Should we read into
I don't know how much we should read into it. I think maybe it's probably a pretty cyclical thing, I would guess. The last couple of years, obviously, we had great records, a lot of NFL talent on the roster. I think maybe this time we weren't as senior laden, so not as many guys are eligible for the draft to begin with. I'd be curious to see what the ratio and percentage is. I'd have to like deep dive into all of that to see, you know, what we're actually looking at to see if there's a true pattern. But when it comes down to it, Coach Glass, our position coaches, they can get guys prepared for the NFL. It's just a matter of, you know, how bad do you want it in some cases. So got to stick around. That's one thing. Got to stick around for it.
Yeah. When you look at the landscape, right, Alabama leads the way with 13
invitees.
Yeah. How do you say that word?
30 players invited.
They got 13 players invited.
30 would be so many. 13.
Yeah,
ooh, 13. Too much.
Yeah, Georgia.
But would we be surprised if it were 30?
Yeah. Right? It's like Alabama with 30. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. They got 13. You got Georgia with 12. Florida, LSU, Michigan, and TCU have 9 each. Clemson has 8.
TCU with 9.
And then you have Maryland, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, and Tennessee with 7 combine participants each. So It is one of those things where it is cyclical, but at the same time, when you talk about like, hey, you know, money gets made during the combine, a little secret just from having been a part of a lot of these conversations with different scouts and with personnel departments, most of the team's draft boards are pretty much already completed. Like, most of them are already completed. The biggest thing that the combine gets you are just a couple of tweaks here and there. You get to confirm a couple of things. Probably the biggest thing that takes place this week are the medical exams, right? Like, a lot of these players that are, you know, kind of nicked up or didn't get to finish the season, or there's just a lot of uncertainty about how their bodies are holding up. Medical exams are huge. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's just getting to know the person, right? And how much can you actually get to know a person in 15 minutes, right? It's a 15-minute interview, or they're going out to eat and having these different conversations where all these players are so trained these days that they all give you the same vanilla answers, right? I love my family. I love my faith. I love my football. You know, it's all vanilla. So,
yeah, I think, but Eve, like a lot of that too, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think that a lot of them will rely on, you know, if it's Alabama, for example, and you've got multiple players, or really any school, like we can even use Oklahoma State for two players. Instead of going to each one of those individually, you're going to the head coach and talking with them about these guys. And that's where the relationship with the head coach, I feel like really matters with these players, right? Like,
well, yeah,
talking about that, like
at Oklahoma State specifically, Rob Glass is the go-to guy. So everybody that I know in the NFL that goes through OSU's program to speak about any player, they always stop by Coach Glass. I'll go and I'll talk to Coach Glass and be like, hey, the GM at the Dolphins, Chris Greer, told me to tell you what's up. I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. Like, Coach Glass is the man when it comes to that pipeline, right, the intermediary. And I will add, the combine, to many people's surprise, is more of an economic exercise than it is, hey, I'm trying to pick my best player. It's, we know we want this guy. He's on our draft board. But do we want to draft him in the second round or in the fifth round or in the fifth round or in the sixth round, right? It's really trying to determine the value. And, of course, we know a bunch of people get it wrong, right? There are undrafted guys every single year that end up becoming, you know, perennial all pros. But it's an economic exercise more than it is anything else, because the three to four to five years that they have on campus, that's really what determines where they're going to whether or not they're going to make it in the NFL.
So here's my question about the combine, because what I'm sort of reading between the lines is that it, not that it doesn't matter, but how much could a bad combine affect you? You know, like, because some of these things, I'm like, who really cares how many reps at 225 you can do? But then you have players, you know, I think Malcolm Rodriguez last year had like 20 something reps, and you know,
it was like 36 or something.
Was
like,
it that many?
Yeah,
that many. So that,
yeah, I was there at his pro day. It was unbelievable.
Like, that's unreal. So that was at the pro day, not the combine. That's right. But these things, like, it's unreal. But okay, how does that? It shows you're strong, but how does that translate to football? And then it's like, if you don't have the fastest 40, okay, but like, how often are players actually running a legitimate 40-yard sprint? You're running routes. You're running, you know, like, that's some of these things with the combine. And then you have players like Bryce Young said he's not throwing. Okay, because you want to throw in your controlled environment. You don't want to have a bad day or whatever, but you're also not going to be thrown in a controlled environment in an NFL game. So some of this stuff, I'm like, I don't really understand how important, if you have a not great day, how that could affect your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the three-cone shuttle, you look at the vertical. I mean, those are true tests of athleticism, right? We want to know how athletic somebody is, how much explosiveness in the broad jump he has, right? Like, it shows a certain type of burst. I think that if a person runs a 4.7 or if they run a 4.5 and they play receiver or they play corner, the person who runs a 4.5 is more likely to get drafted than the person who runs a 4.7, of course. So it matters from the standpoint of the higher you get drafted, the more money you get.
Right.
The bigger of a signing bonus that you get. Yeah. But then you take Keenan Allen, you know, plays for the Chargers, one of the best receivers in the NFL. He ran like a 4.74, and he's, you know, one of the best receivers in the NFL. So there are a whole bunch of other different factors. But it does matter if you want more money up front, because as we all know, every game is not promised in this sport.
Yeah. And I also understand, you know, if you're fast, you can create separation. You know, if you're Tyreek Hill and you're running, like, you can create that separation. So I'm not saying that speed doesn't matter. It absolutely does. But some of these things too, and I just think it's so interesting when players are like, oh, I'm not doing this drill or I'm not doing that drill. I'm going to wait for my pro day. And I guess that you're going to the combine more for the business aspect of,
yeah,
meeting everybody and networking and all the informal interviews that happen as well.
And even Tyreek Hill didn't get drafted until the fifth round, by the way, right? It's crazy. But, you know, when you talk about these guys who are deciding which events they are and aren't going to do, a lot of people don't have the benefit of being able to do that, right? Like, you have to be a surefire top 20 pick to even be able to make that decision. Yeah, I'm not throwing this one, or I'm not running the 40, or I'm not doing this. Like, that's a very, very, you know, you got 10 to 15 guys who may be able to choose what they aren't going to do. But for the rest of them, overwhelmingly, you know, it matters. And they want to put their best foot forward out there.
For guys like Lacey and Taylor, who are in the combine this week, and then they're probably also going to go through some drills at pro day, like, what if, you know, I'm making up numbers, what if JT runs a 4.5 40 at the combine, and then here he runs a 4.7, or, you know, vice versa? Like,
yeah,
do they look into one more than the other, or is it more just?
Well, I can tell you, I can tell you from having conversations with some senior level scouts, they'll say they don't trust any of the times that are actually put out there anyway. They all think that they're like their thumb right. is the best, right? It, yeah, I've been doing this for 30 years. Like I trust my timer more than anybody else's. So you know, it really depends on people's preferences. I love how whenever Justin Blackman was coming out and he decided that he wasn't going to run the 40-yard dash at the combine, and he went and they asked him at the press conference, and he just said, "Well, just look at the film. I've never been caught from behind."
I love that.
And then if you go back and you watch the film, he had never been caught from behind. So then he goes out in pro day and he ran a 4.45, right? So it's just one of those things where it's like if your tape is good enough, you really don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
That raises the question. If your tape is good enough, then why even have a combine in the first place? Why not just make it a networking event if people are going to opt out of things? Just take the physical stuff out of it and just make it you're invited to meet with these teams, do all that stuff.
Oh, I could tell you exactly why. It's the same reason why the combine used to happen in the morning and in the afternoons, and now it's all happening in the evenings, because it's a TV show. It is a TV show. You know, it's such a weird thing. You know, a bunch of guys coming out there in their underwear, and you have a bunch of people who are just looking and examining them, and you're just like, oh, yeah, body fat this, body fat that. Here's how he look. Yeah, he looks strong. You're just like, what is – like there's some people who are really poorly built who can ball. Right? So like you just don't know, you know. So I guess some of that has to do with like effort. You know, is he a locker room? Is he a weight room guy? I had somebody once tell me Mike Pouncey, center in the NFL, and he played for 9 years. And he would always say if he knew somebody was really good at weightlifting, they probably weren't going to be that good of a football player. He was like he would look at somebody and be like, nah, he too good at lifting weights. He ain't going to last in here. And he was always right. It's the craziest thing ever. So it's just like how much of that translates. Of course, there's stuff that translates, but
right.
You know, some of that is just honestly raw ability.
I think the biggest proof is Tom Brady's combine picture, like that famous picture. And you look at that and you're like, this man is what? He cannot play football. And he's arguably the greatest player of all time. But
hey. But then you got guys like DK Metcalf.
Yes, who's just like. Then,
yeah. Yeah. There's some people, honestly, who like when the sperm hit the egg, that individual was supposed to be 6'5", 230 pounds, running a 4.3 and catching with three fingers. Like, you're just like, yeah, I mean, that's undeniable. It doesn't matter what you do. You're going to get drafted.
DK Metcalf is just a freak of nature and just, yeah. I don't, but
stuff don't make sense.
Yeah. It'll be
like a 45 inch vertical. Ridiculous.
What do you guys, have you guys ever like tested your verticals?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So my pro day at Oklahoma State, I ran a 4.56. My vertical was, I want to say 36 inches. Okay. I can't remember what my three cone shuttle was.
I'd be so bad at that.
My broad jump, I was actually really disappointed by. I don't even remember what it was. But, yeah, I think those are the only measurements that I actually remember.
Yeah, I don't remember too many of those. So 40, I think the best 40 I got was 4.58. And vert was 35 inches. And then bench press, I did 12 at 225.
I did 12 too. Yeah, I did 12 on the bench press. I remember that.
Yay.
Well, maybe. Justin was my workout
partner. We were workout partners, and so, we were able to keep up with each other.
That was the biggest thing. I had to keep up. Hey, I ain't going to lie. Whenever South and I came in, like, we was making sure that people was on their stuff. Right? Like, it wasn't no joke. Like, if you were going to be a walk-on back in 2009, it wasn't no easy just like, oh, this person looks good. Get them in there. No, like, you really had to perform out there. Those were the days.
I need
and
to
it'd be really funny because like Kendall Hunter would be, you know, over there with the 90 pound dumbbells on incline. And I'd be like, all right, man, let me get in here. And he's like, shut up, boy, you can't do this. And I'd be like, you know, repping it out. And he'd be like, oh, snap. Okay, hold on.
Yeah. They're like, they're so impressed. And you're just like, I mean, yeah, we prepared for this, you know, like we took this thing seriously.
Yeah. Good for you guys. I don't know if I'll ever physically be able to bench press 225, but that's, you know, why should I have to?
You don't need to. It's all right.
If you put your mind to it, Meg, I believe you can.
My one rep for bench is, and this is one rep, is 110, and that's very exciting for me.
Yeah, you did that in 7th grade.
You did that in 12th grade?
7th.
Seventh. Oh, you know what?
I'm just messing with you.
That's fine. But I just checked my My highest box jump, so we'll go vertical because he had to jump on the box, was 32. That's not terrible. I also like get nervous that I have some scars on my shins from box jumps gone bad. So I'm like, I really don't
need to. We've all been there, Meg. We've all been there.
Yo, you know who was a freak at OK State when it came to box jumps? Well, two people come to the top of mind.
Yeah, I'm thinking
one, Isaiah Anderson.
Yeah.
His leaping ability was just
43-inch vert. At least.
Rumor has it that he just caught another touchdown against Texas Tech. And the second guy is Cooper Bassett. I don't know if y'all remember Cooper Bassett, defensive end turned, or was it tight end turned defensive end? One of the two. Like he came in one position, left the other one.
Yeah, but I think that's right. Tight end to D end.
Yeah, like that guy had some ridiculous. Actually, that guy was just Captain America in general. Like he.
I thought you were gonna say Jamie Blatnick because he's still doing like 53-inch box jumps with 35-pound dumbbells.
Yeah, he's a different type of.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looks like The Rock.
How?
Next year, guys, if I start training now, I can be ready. Not that I'd get the invite for the combine, but I can do the workouts on my own. And
you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to put an OSU all combine team, right? Just to see where people would rank on that. You know, like I think Marcel Aitman has to be somewhere like most impressive wingspan. You got Tyreek Hill, of course, is going to have like the fastest 40. Jay Stu might be there with like the quickest person. And then when it comes to hands, Dez Bryant, right? Like, I don't know. I think that would be,
that'd be
fun. Well, you know, after Justin Southwell, of course.
Are we talking about combine performances? Because then it would have to go to Dez, Justin, unless you've participated in the combine.
Fine. That's fine. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Fair. Fair is fair.
Wow.
It is fair.
Best of luck to both Tyler and Jason this week. Hope you guys crush it. Show out for Oklahoma State.
Ball out.
You know, just run fast. That's my advice to you. Run fast and lift heavy.
Drink plenty of water. If there is one thing that I always try to emphasize with every single one of these players, it is so easy to pull soft tissue muscles. Because everybody's not really training for football at this time of the year. They're all training for the combine. And it's easy to get dehydrated because you have to weigh in and you have to make sure that you're under a certain weight. And next thing you know, you pull a hamstring because you weren't properly hydrated. Make sure that you have a gallon of water with you at all times and just be properly hydrated, please.
With electrolytes.
With electrolytes, yes.
Liquid IV, stock up now.
Need it. Every player that I've ever been around while they were doing combine training, I always had a water bottle, and I would give it to them, and I say, hey, every time I see you, I need to see a water bottle with you. Please.
Also, go to Harry and Izzy's or St. Elmo's and get the shrimp cocktail. Those are my indie advice for you.
Can't wait. I'm going to St. Elmo's for the first time this week. So
for the first time?
Nice. First time, yeah.
God, that shrimp cocktail is life-changing.
Ooh, can't wait.
It's so good. It's so good. But I digress. I might just pop up. I'll just show up and get for the shrimp.
Ugh, yeah, come on in. I'll save you a seat just in case.
Yeah. Well, before we close out this episode, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, News and Notes, highlighting those OSU athletes doing their thing. Jansen Kiesel, he was named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week and one of collegiate baseball's national players of the week. He's a transfer from BYU. He was a starting pitcher in the Cowboys' historic performance last week against California Baptist. He pitched 5 1/3 innings in the combined no-hitter. And in those 5.5 innings, he racked up 11 strikeouts. It was the first combined no-hitter for Oklahoma State since 1993. So you go, Jansen.
Come on, Jansen.
Here we go.
Get it done.
And like 2 days later, they pitched another no-hitter.
Yeah, so that's what I thought you were going to say, that you were like, it was last no-hitter since yesterday.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's true. But at that point, it was – so there's been two recently, but the one that Jansen was through five and a third in, that was the first. So they've had two combined no-hitters this week and they have not had any since 1993. So come on, baseball, let's go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, if you guys had to run a 40 right now, what do you think you would run?
6.5.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I don't think I'm cracking. I don't think I'm going below 5.
Absolutely not. I have never run below 5 in my life. Like, no.
Because that's the hardest thing from an athleticism standpoint. That's the hardest thing to retain is speed. And if you're not constantly sprinting running fast, like you just lose it so quickly.
I have never been fast. And my parents will also tell you, Meg has never been fast. I know my weaknesses. Speed isn't one of them. But when it comes to endurance, I can outlast a lot of people. I have no doubt. I don't need to be fast. I just got to outlast you. You know, when that receiver's getting gassed, it doesn't matter because I can breathe. That's what matters. I got endurance.
Yeah, speed. I guess, I mean, I was kind of fast. I think the fastest I ever was when I was in 12th grade. Like, that's probably the fastest I ever was. But my leaping ability is what I always, like, hope to hold on to. You know, I made it to the regionals. Yes, I made it to regionals in high school for the high jump. Jumped to 6'8". And I've never, like, I did that once. I ran a 4.48 once. And like, that's just like the peak. I've never been able to replicate those performances ever again. It's like one day things were just aligned. But yeah, that leaping ability is, to this day, I'm still holding on to that.
How often do you find yourself needing to leap over things?
Oh, every day. Every single day. Every day I just jump and try to touch the ceiling for no reason.
Cool.
Not out of necessity, just out of habit at this point.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things, like even like whenever you go to the gym and you walk past a bench, and you're like, huh, let's just see how many reps 225 I can do right now. And just randomly just get down there and just do it. Like just certain things just never really leave you.
Well, did you guys ever do the beep test? Did you do the beep test?
Yeah.
I did that like a year ago, 2 years, a little while ago I did the beep test. And I was the last one standing. I beat like 7 men. And I was like...
There you go. And you know what?
Did not even warm up.
That's probably more important than any of that other stuff that we were talking about anyway. Because like that cardio and that muscle endurance is
endurance.
Again, it brings it all full circle, right? Just going back to the human performance center that we're building. Just make sure that beep test is ready to go over there. All right.
And the person in charge of it, who is a professor at Oklahoma State, who trains like first responders to like for tactical athletes for training and everything, he complimented my heart rate recovery. I brought my heart rate down. I recovered very quickly. It was like, didn't even warm up. So I don't need to run fast. I have endurance. And that's what matters.
Give all of our athletes the secret. What is it? Are you just breathing in through your nose, out through your mouth? Like, what's going on?
I just, like, train enough, you know? I don't know. It's just a gift.
Respect. Respect. I dig it.
Maybe some good genetics in there.
I don't know about that, but you know, it's just, you just got to train. You got to just, I don't know, in through your nose, out through your mouth.
Salute.
Breathe through things. I don't know.
You're tired. You're not.
People sometimes, if you're like doing certain things, if you're like, you hold your breath and you don't realize that you're holding your breath. If you're like trying to bench or like rep something out or you're squatting, you're like, no, you have to exhale on the way up to like, once you get past that certain point, like you want to breathe in and brace yourself, squat down. And then once you get above parallel, you have to exhale. So you
Coach Meg,
hold your
coach
breath.
Him up. Let them know.
Okay. Sometimes I can be athletic and, you know, training tips on the next episode.
Hey, these are all, that's just all the perks from being around like the world of athletics at all times, right? It's like all this residual knowledge that you have, and then you just apply it and great things happen in your own personal life.
Yeah. No. Sports.
Hashtag sports.
Go sports.
All right, guys. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast presented by Bet Online. Once again, I'm Meg, joined by Justin and Eve. I almost said watch, but you know, you're already watching or listening. Like, share, subscribe, comment, follow, do all the things. And of course, go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes!